You're listening to Science Friday from NPR. I'm Ira Flatow. Up next, yes, it's Memorial Day. It's Memorial Day weekend and start of the summer, and I'll bet you you're going to be heading out to that gardening store, right? You're going to sit back, and maybe do a little barbecuing, looking over and saying, I need a tomato patch or something right there. Well, it's time to get the tomatoes and cucumbers planted, but what do you do if you're a little short on space? You live in the city. You have a little bit of a lot. There's not a lot. You don't have a lot of cash. Does that mean gardening is not for you? Absolutely not, because my next guest has some great ideas for the would-be vegetable gardener who doesn't have a lot to work with. He joins me now to share some of his gardening hacks, and I'm hoping you out there will give us some tips of your own. Got a good way to grow a little, grow a lot in a little space? Give us a call. Our number is 1-800-989-8255. Also, tweet us at SciFry, at SCI. FRI, and you can join a discussion on our website at sciencefriday.com talking about gardening. Let me introduce my guest. Sean Verrill is a software engineer as his day job, but I'm sure what he likes to do most, he's the cheap vegetable gardener, and you can go to his website where he documents his penny-pinching gardening tips at cheapvegetablegardener.com. He joins us from Redmond, Washington, where that small little software company is out there. Welcome, Sean.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
I've been seeing these commercials on TV now for the last 6 months about growing tomatoes upside down. Does that work, and do I have to buy that tomato plant, that special one, or can I do that myself?
Well, the funny thing is, I mean, I think they actually started selling these things, I think, around 2005. So they've been doing it for a while, but yeah, it's to some people still this strange thing they haven't heard of. But I've heard people doing it for decades. I did a little bit of looking, and apparently, they've been back about 1985, as far as back I could find. I'm sure some grandma did it in the 1900s, but did it commercially growing these things. So, and was very, very successful at that. So, and as far as having to purchase them, I mean, the concept's pretty simple. What they've done for before the commercial versions is using 5 gallon buckets, just drill a hole in the bottom, stick a plant through, put some dirt in, hang it up. You know, it's pretty simple. And one of the methods that I've done is, for some of the smaller plants, is to take your classic 2 liter pop bottle, cut the bottom off, put a plant in the bottom, and fill it full of dirt. With the one exception is you only can grow some of the smaller plants, but I mean it's definitely a very cheap, and you don't need some crazy structures to hold this thing up. So
why don't the plants get dizzy hanging upside down? Seriously, I always thought the roots grow down. The leaves want to turn back up toward the sun, don't they?
Yeah, I mean the roots don't really work with gravity, as far as I've seen. They go to where the water is and where the nutrients are. So if that happens to be down, another technique of growing tomatoes is planting them on their sides, which people have been doing for a long time.
I used to do that. Yeah.
So, that's similar concept where, the theory would be all the roots should just shoot down, but they'll go to the side and, fill the space out. So, as far as the leaves, it usually takes a day or two, but they will, curl over. And then, the top side of the leaves, want to point towards the sun, so they'll take care of that. So, really not too much different than, putting a plant in a shaded area, and it's going to go towards the brightest place it can get to. So.
Yeah. And I guess you started this hobby business / website out of necessity yourself. You didn't have a whole lot of space to grow veggies in.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I live in, sort of a modern, suburban area where, it's, pretty postage stamp type houses. So in my case, I really only have, a small strip of southern facing, land to grow, which fortunately at least have that, so I can grow some tomatoes in the ground. But one of the issues you have with that is for disease and pests is you want to have crop rotation, which when you only have one place to grow something, it's kind of like, am I going to take three years off growing tomatoes? So, the options are doing container planting or doing that whole upside down, technique, which you can definitely, put that in your, front yard, which, you maybe, don't have a place to put it in dirt, but just finding a place to put a hook up and you can start growing there.
And it's pretty cheap. Those pop bottles, you can find them lying around anywhere.
Yeah, I got plenty more sitting in my compost bin at the moment. So yeah, so it's a good way to do a little reuse before you throw something away or send it to recycling. So
hi, Elizabeth in Kalamazoo. Hi.
Hi there, Ira. How you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Great. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to let our listeners know that if you or anybody that you know receives food stamp benefits through the USDA SNAP program, you can purchase plants that grow food and seeds that grow food.
Well, with food stamps.
Food stamps, so the store where you're going to has to be food stamp accessible.
Right.
You know, there's farmers markets.
Right.
Here in Kalamazoo, we have two farmers markets that accept food stamps, and there's farmers there where you can buy plants that grow food, also at our local co-op, at the People's Food Co-op.
Wow, that's good to know, Elizabeth. Thanks for letting us know.
Thanks a lot.
Have a great weekend.
You too.
Bye-bye. 1-800-989-8255. How cheaply can you grow stuff? I mean, that's your whole point, is to grow stuff as cheaply as possible, Sean, is it not?
Yeah, and sometimes you do have to be a little creative. You know, I mean, it's one of those hobbies where if you actually go back to my very first post on my website, I actually talk about the initial, you know, buying the dirt, buying the tools, buying all the seeds, you know, to get, you know, my $80 tomato. You know, but it is little things where, you know, if you are a little creative around it, you do the containers, you do some of these upside down. I mean, you don't have to buy a lot of dirt to fill a lot of space, or even, you know, many people will, you know, buy enough dirt to do 12, you know, mm-hmm. 14, 15 inches worth of soil to grow something, which, you know, kind of doing kind of the square foot gardening type methods, you know, 6 inches, you can pretty much grow about anything but carrots, you know, because they'll eventually go sideways. So, yeah.
You have a post on the most profitable plants in your vegetable garden. What crops give you the most value for your money?
Yeah, I think on that list, cilantro made it to the top. I mean, it's definitely not one you would think of, but I mean, to me, I need to update that with something with the, by taste as well, but you know, tomatoes are definitely one you can't really compete with anything there. I know my daughter, you know, won't eat too many vegetables, but the fresh peas off the plant is definitely a favorite, so I have to fight her for those now.
Yeah,
but it really comes down to, it doesn't really matter how profitable it is, and if you don't eat it, you know, it's sort of a non-issue. But a lot of the more, you know, exotic type, you know, leaf vegetables and stuff that you maybe don't think about, but yeah.
Let's go to Aaron in Jacksonville. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, how you doing, Ira?
Hey there.
Yes, I wanted to give you guys a couple ideas for a vertical pipe garden. You can take PVC pipe, and you can either use a soil, or you can use it hydroponically, but you just cap the ends of it, and you can either stack it on top of each other high, or you can just grow the one single pipe vertically, and plants will naturally sprout right out of that. And you can make a curtain. If you don't like your neighbors and you rather see vegetables, you just put up a couple of these pipes on top of each other, and they'll cascade right down to the
next
one.
What a great idea. And do you use 2-inch PVC or 4-inch?
Oh, well, you can use whatever size that you have. Oh, excuse the fire. The fire truck's going by in the background. But you can use whatever size you want and whatever you have laying around. That's kind of the beauty of that.
All right. That's a great suggestion. Thanks for calling. Have a happy holiday weekend.
No, thank you.
You're welcome. Good idea. That's a great idea.
I was actually the guy in 1985 was actually the 4-inch PVC filled with sand. So, yeah.
Is that right?
So it's definitely what has been around for a few decades. But.
In fact, we have a lot of pictures of different planters on our website at sciencefriday.com. If you want to get an idea of what Sean's talking about there, we've got a lot of interesting. And you've got them made out of all kinds of things, even like a swan, I think, is one of them. They're different stuff. They're not yours, but there are a lot of different ways you can make a planter out of it. Anything you want, it looks like. Yeah. 1-800-989-8255. Let's go to Michelle in Pacific, Mississippi. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, it's Pacific, Missouri.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I wanted to just ask you about, I saw a video called Bee Season, and it talked about the demise of the bees and how we can alleviate it, how we can help them. But they mentioned about bees in the cities are faring much better than bees in the country because of pesticides and same growth of fields of flowers, which are creating, it's all surmised, to their death. So as people are starting to grow things and become bigger gardeners that they should probably check out what not to use so that the bees can continue to produce the honey and foods that we eat.
Yeah, I guess, any comment on that, John?
Yeah, I mean, one thing as far as helping, I know there's, I can't remember exactly what it's called, but there's like a sunflower project that they'll actually send you the seeds, but it's one of those where you know, basically go out for 5 minutes and count how many bees you see, and it's actually a little bit of getting some of those numbers. But, yeah, I mean, also I definitely do, you know, all are organic, you know, when it comes to my gardening. It's like, if I'm going to be eating it, I might as well, you know, make sure I'm doing as healthy as possible. And that is one good thing about, you know, some of the things like even the upside-down tomato, you really, you know, don't have to use pesticides. You know, you're, you know, very little watering. I mean, consistent watering, but it's, you know, pretty much just going right to the roots. And,
You also have a great post on your website on using coffee grounds. Now, I have used coffee grounds for years. I've been told that acid-loving plants like gardenias, rhododendrons, things like that, love very acidic fertilizer, and coffee grounds supposedly very acidic, and just throw them on the ground and they biodegrade into great fertilizer and compost. But you have debunked this. You've actually measured the acid, the acidity of the coffee ground.
Yeah, and Starbucks also confirmed it, which, you know, so when it gets brewed, the acidity goes away. So if you had unused coffee grounds, that would be true, but
that's a little expensive.
Yeah.
you said the acidity is 6.9, which 7 is neutral, so that's a myth.
Yeah.
But it still makes for good compost.
But people still swear by putting it on your blueberries, and it works great. So, and that's in some ways a lot of things I am doing on my side is, it seems like a lot of the advice that I hear is, you know, it's been, you know, we've been doing for hundreds of years, which is great, you know, but I'm trying to do some experimentation to figure out some of these things, which ones are just kind of coincidental and which ones are really kind of based off of science. So
that's good. We're talking about gardening this hour on Science Friday from NPR. Here talking with Sean Verrill. You have to give me one tip that, you know, maybe you have a pet, maybe pet, it's a poor choice of words. I'm talking about squirrels, rabbits. How do you keep them out of your garden? Even the hanging plants and hanging stuff, they will find a way, you know, a rabbit won't, but a squirrel will, of getting into something. You have any luck with that?
Yeah, I mean, fortunately, where I live, there isn't too many squirrels. And yeah, I agree. No matter, you know, how you set that thing up, they're going to find some way to do some trapeze action to get onto that plant. But at least you can look at when you do the upside down. It is a little more of an effort than just grabbing a tomato on the ground. Rabbits don't jump too high.
Yeah,
but
they don't. When
it comes to squirrels, I don't think there's much you could do.
No. Yeah, you just give them enough to eat and grow enough for both of you is how people deal with it. You know?
Yeah, that's what I normally do for, like, on berries and for birds. It's like, just make sure I grow extra because, you know, it's their place too. So, you know.
Yeah. But let me get a call in. Ann from South Dakota. Hi, Ann.
Hi. To keep your birds, keep squirrels away from your bird feeders, put Vaseline where it hangs.
Yeah.
And the squirrels, they can't hang on to it because it's slippery.
Wow.
Now, for the very best pico in the whole wide world, you plant a Hungarian wax banana, a Better Boy tomato, and a green onion in the same pot. And when that tomato is cut, you'll taste all of it at the same time.
So you're growing the spices right into the tomato.
Mm-hmm.
And it works.
Yeah, it works.
I'm going to try it.
Yeah, it works.
All right. Thanks for that tip, Ann.
And put nylon knee highs around your squash when they start to grow. They'll still grow, but the bugs aren't going to bother them.
There you have it. Thanks, Ann. Have a happy holiday weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. How's that tip?
Yeah.
Tried that?
I've unintentionally grown garlic and potatoes together when you kind of got some volunteer potatoes, but yeah. It did work for me there, but you know, I haven't tried that one.
I've got about a minute or so left. Any last tips you want to give our frugal gardeners? this weekend?
I think, you know, just basically be creative. That kind of came across the quote of Thomas Edison: to invent, you need a good imagination and a pile of junk, you know. And so I think that practically could be the tagline for my site. So.
Well, I think in gardening, it is really true with what Edison said, that it's 99% perspiration. When you get 1% inspiration, 99% perspiration, because gardening is good for you. It's all good exercise. It's good to get out there in the soil. Do you have a favorite tomato variety that you like to use more than any other?
You know, I'm still experimenting. A couple that I'm trying this year is Green Zebra, just because it looks kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And but for the cherry tomatoes, first time I tried this year, so I can't really speak for the fruit, but the Husky tomato definitely is a very hardy, that seems to do really good for the, you know, at least for the upside-down tomatoes, for the smaller ones, that it definitely seems to be a pretty hardy one. It seems like it's gonna do better than it has, you know, these have done in previous years. So,
mm-hmm. And especially if you're growing it upside down, you want to use a small tomato, like the cherry tomato, so it doesn't really hang down and fall off.
Yeah, I mean, in most cases, if it's a bigger tomato, it's going to get big enough roots to support itself. But, yeah, I mean, you get to the point where it is a lot of weight, you know,
right,
one where you're hanging it, but also on the entire plant. So,
well, good luck to you. Thank you for taking time to enlighten us today.
All right, thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. Sean Verrill is a gardener, and the man behind, here's his website, cheapvegetablegardener.com. And if you missed that, you go to our website at Science Friday. And that's about all the time we have for today's program. Greg Smith composed our theme music, and we had help from NPR librarian Key Molesky. You can send us mail the classic mail way. Here's our address, Science Friday, for West 43rd Street, room 306, New York, New York, 10036. And as always, you can surf over to our website at sciencefriday.com, where we're podcasting and blogging and tweeting and doing all kinds of stuff like that. And you can also take this show and shove it right into your pocket. We now have our iPhone app. Put it on your iPhone and you can get our videos and get our podcast that way. And soon to have a Droid coming out for all you folks who keep asking for one. Please have a safe and happy holiday weekend. We want to see you here back next week. I'm Ira Flato in New York.